He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Truly he bore our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, you know that Jesus will hear your every plea, and that he will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody bless him. Hallelujah. What Brother Marlon read was the word of God. Come to the house of God and shout for joy. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. Serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. You know why we don't shout on Sunday morning? Because we hadn't shouted all week for the Lord. You know why we don't speak in tongues on Sunday morning? Because we're out of harmony with a prayer life and a closeness. And we hadn't prayed all week and got a hold of God. You come in, you've been shouting and praising God and speaking in tongues all week. You're very likely to do a little of it on Sunday morning. Amen. Is that not true? Oh, are you listening to me? Is that not true? I love you, church. I love you. Turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the great gospel of King David. The great gospel of King David. Very important, marvelous, marvelous psalm. Psalm division, chapter 1. Okay? Psalms division, chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Listen to that. Beautiful to me. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now listen, this is very important part of this sermon. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. The Psalms division 1 is the foundational psalm of all the psalms. It is so foundational that if there's any truth in the Bible, just about this psalm reaches to it and is a marvelous psalm. I've preached many times on the first three verses, and I shall preach on them again this morning. But we're going to start in a moment with verse 4. And we're going to see what verse 4 says to us. And I believe God is going to help us understand. Father, to preach the word of God is the greatest joy of my life. I have no desire to ever quit preaching, but to preach more and more and everywhere I go, and to stand for your word and to somehow see a few people saved. A few people saved. Oh, I'd love to see a whole lot. But God, if I can't see a whole lot, let me see a few. Thank you for your goodness and love to us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, listen to me carefully, because I believe God's given me a sermon, mightily from him and for his glory. I want to preach on the beautiful life of godliness. The beautiful life of godliness. Can I say that again? The beautiful life of godliness. As I was preparing and seeking the Lord, the thought just kind of arrested me how I feel about this beautiful life of godliness. And the only words that I could get out of my lips about it was, I love this life. I love this life. And then as I was saying, I love this life, it dawned on me that people who are trying to live right, who don't really have it in their hearts, they're just trying to miss hell, they're trying to make heaven, they're trying to make mommy and daddy happy with them, they're trying to make their preacher get off their back and leave them alone. They're just trying to do their best to live right, though they don't really have it in their heart. They're struggling with it. There's no joy in that kind of a Christian life. In fact, that's not a biblical Christian life. And there's no way to enjoy being an old-fashioned Christian if you don't love it. If you don't fall in love with it. If it don't become part of you. If you don't get it inside until you'd rather live this life than anything in the world. If you'd rather have something else, go on and get it, because it ain't going to do you no good to be without it. If you'd rather have something else. If you just got to go back to Egypt, then go on back to Egypt and get it over with. And don't be a hypocrite. Nothing is worse than a hypocrite. Nothing, absolutely nothing is worse than a person who don't got it. don't have it. Of course, there's a better term, that don't have it, but yet they've just got to act like they got it, and they're trying their best to enjoy coming to church. Friend, when you get in love, when you fall in love with godliness, nobody will have to beg you to come to the house of God. Nobody would have to beg you to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. It'll just be a part of you. It'll get a hold of you, and you'll say, I love this life. I love this life. I love this life. So the beautiful life of godliness is a life that you have to fall in love with. Please, you got to hear that. It's a life that you have to fall in love with. And if you can sit there and kind of feel a little wheeziness with all of this, and you don't really have the love of it you ought to have, why don't you ask God to give you that love of this? Get on your face and repent of whatever is hindering you, and believe Him by the grace of God to put a love in your heart for this life. It is a wonderful life. Now I want to preach about, blessed is the man that doesn't do these three things. And then blessed is the man that's life is like a river of water, like a tree planted by the streams of life, who brings forth much fruit. And it's a blessed life. It's a wonderful life. But let me begin with verse 4 this morning, if I might. Listen to it. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I don't think I've ever really preached on that verse in my life. I'm not sure. I probably have said a few things, but really to preach on it, it got a hold of me how necessary it is that I preach on verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Now notice those words. The ungodly are not so. They are so empty and so void in their life that the Bible says they're not so. It's like they are a non-entity. It's like they do not even exist. It's like they're just a shadow walking around, but no substance in that shadow to give it beautiful presence, to give it beautiful expression. They're just a nobody. They are a nothing. I'm overwhelmed by it. You got to hear it again. The ungodly are not so. Do you get that? The ungodly are not so. They may look like they are so. They may have a body, and they may be going around with some kind of substance of existence, and they may put on a show, and they may be a big voice or a big name or even a loud voice and loud name. But still, the Bible says they're not so. They really are just a shadow. They are empty. They don't have anything that makes life beautiful. Now listen to me. As I thought of this and tried to wait on the Holy Ghost to help me, it dawned on me that a person does not have to be a mean rascal to be an ungodly person. Ungodly is simply the opposite of godly. So that if you're not godly, the substance of your life is not godly. It is ungodly. It is without God. It is empty of God. It is void of God. And that's what the Bible is trying to say. There are many people who are very religious, but they're still ungodly because they are empty. There's nothing within their spirit. There's nothing in that God-created part of them that the Bible calls the spirit of man. It's empty. And the flesh may be full, and the soul may be full. See, a person with the flesh can be just, they can be a rock and roll singer and make a lot of noise and make a lot of money, but that's nothing but the flesh. Or they may be soulical, a great person of wisdom and of all kinds of religions and all kinds of soulical experiences, but they're still not so because their spirit is empty. The ungodly are not so. Their spirit is empty. The flesh may be full, the soul may be full, but the spirit is empty. So the Bible says they're not so. The Bible says they're just a shadow. Do you understand how many people you know that are nothing but a shadow? Do you realize how many people you meet in grocery stores and it's very evident they're just a shadow? There's no real life there. There's no real substance there. The ungodly are not so. Would you say that with me? The ungodly are not so. They do not have substance of life. Now, let me tell you something. That if I understand life right, the whole ungodly experience of man begins with emptiness. When a person is empty in their spirit, no amount of life in the flesh will suffice and will make them happy. When a person is empty in their spirit, no amount of solical life. They may write poems and sing songs and have all kinds of beautiful rhetoric that comes out of the inner person, but because they are empty, they still are not so. So it is the empty spirit of man that is the source from which all sin and wickedness arises. You get a man who's empty within, and he'll start searching for something to fill that emptiness. And he'll search hither and thither and here and there. And he will go to all kinds of places. Our churches have people who sit in them, and they're not full of God. And so they're searching for things. And we get upset at what they're searching for. But the real need is not to take away the things they're searching for, but to get something on the inside of them so that they've got something to be happy about. You take a man or woman who is empty within, and they'll reach for this and they'll reach for that. Men like that will soon be talking to some other woman instead of their wife. Or women like that will be talking to some other man instead of their husband, or maybe even a lesbian. I had a testimony this very week of someone whom they work with. This was a person, a lady, who works in a place of business. And recently, one of the main people in the business, a woman, left her husband and went off with a lesbian woman who happened to have had a lot of money and offered her a lot of solical life. Now, why did she leave her husband and run off after a lesbian? How insane. She did it because she was empty. She wasn't being satisfied within. She had no spiritual substance. She had nothing that gave her life. Now you understand, the ungodly are not so. So trying to reach an ungodly person, we've got to understand that they don't know anything but the things they're doing that we see as sin and wrong. They really need to know what they can have inside that will satisfy them. Anybody know what I'm saying? Raise your hand. Let me see where I'm at. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? I'm here to tell you, friend, an empty soul is a sad person. I should say an empty spirit. An empty spirit is a sad person. An empty life is a sad person. Now notice, the ungodly are not so, listen, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are not so. That's the first thing. They have no substance of life. They're just running hither and thither and trying to enjoy sin and wicked living and selfish living, but they have no substance. They're like chaff which the wind driveth away. And as I was studying, the Lord reminded me of my boy life. I was raised on a farm, and Daddy would plant big, beautiful fields of wheat and oaks. Anybody know anything about wheat and oaks? Oh, it was big on the farm, and it was what we would grind up the oaks and the wheat and feed to the cattle, and sometimes he'd have flour made out of the wheat, and you know, it was beautiful. Well, I was the one who rode the thrashing machine. Listen now, a thrashing machine. It was a big old machine that you pull behind a tractor, and you go around your field of wheat or oaks, and you take about 4 or 5 feet at the time, and you just circle the field with that wheat and oaks being mown down and going through the thrashing machine. Well, my duty was to stand at the back of the thrashing machine where there was a pipe, kind of a tunnel-like, that came out of the machine, and the oaks or the wheat, as it was thrashed out of the stalks of wheat or oaks, would be broke loose from the stalks and would be thrown or put through the thrashing machine into this tunnel-like, and I would catch them in sacks. And I would, you know, had a tunnel and had a divide where you could go from one side to the other. And when one sack got full, you'd have another sack ready, turn it the other way, tie that sack, drop it off the machine right down a chute, and the other sack would get full. And it was my joy. No, it was my responsibility to ride the thrashing machine. Well, let me tell you, when the thrashing machine was thrashing the oaks of the wheat, the chaff, the word C-H-A-F-F, got it? The chaff was that part that was like a shell around the oaks or the wheat. It had grown within that shell until it was mature, and then the chaff would kind of open up, and then it would fall off in the process of thrashing. And the air would be filled with this chaff. And it would go down my shirt collar. It would get all over my body. I would start burning. And I would start itching. And I always dreaded when it was time to thrash the wheat or the oaks. I always dreaded it. Because I knew the air would be full of chaff. And I knew I would be covered with it from head to toe. Now, there was a stalk that went through and it was cut up. And it became the bales of hay. The oak and wheat went into sacks, and it became the fruit for the summer, both the cattle and for us at the house. And so the thrashing machine only discarded the chaff. Everything else was kept. The chaff flew into the air. It was light, and it just would break loose, and it would fly everywhere. And the air would be covered with chaff. Exactly what the Bible said, the chaff which the wind driveth away. Oh, you would see the chaff blowing through the wind. Everything else was being caught. Everything else was either in the bale of hay or in the sack of grain. But the chaff was flying through the air. And I thought, wow, the Bible is so beautiful. The chaff the wind driveth away. Have you seen people all over our world and they're just like chaff? They're being blown hither and thither and from here to there. I'll never forget last night. I'm sitting enjoying studying, and this sermon is just flowing in me, and I wanted to preach it last night, and it was real to my heart, and my phone started clicking. It was text coming into my phone. And as the text came into my phone, I would just look at them. I knew then where they came from, and I could understand the person who was sending them was like chaff, which the wind was blowing away. And all he could produce was chaff, and more chaff, and more chaff. And I sat there, and as I read a little bit of the text and looked at my sermon, I began to squall. I began to weep. I begin to weep as I begin to think about how many people in our world that are just like the chaff which the wind driveth away. How many of you have got children who are like the chaff which the wind is driving away? Some of you have husbands or wives that are like the chaff which the wind is blowing in the breeze and never can settle down. And you can't put it in a sack because it would be no value if you put it in a sack. When you catch the chaff, you haven't caught anything of worth. Because it's nothing but the leftover of the wasted grain and the wasted fruit that you just harvest in the field. And our world is full of that. I've been weeping ever since yesterday, thinking about the multitudes. How many do you know? How many in your family? How many do you know among the people you work around that are nothing but chaff, which the wind is driving away? Oh, God, help us to understand this and get a burden for those who are being blown by the wind and who have no rubbish. Raise your hand up and just breathe a prayer for somebody that's like chaff, which the wind is blowing hither and thither. We probably never have a service that somebody doesn't sit here in this sanctuary who have become nothing but chaff because they will not settle down. They will not fill their life with good things. They will not fill their spirit with the holy things of God so that they can be satisfied. They prefer to be chaff. They prefer to blow and go with the wind and flow with their own egocentric feelings and emotions. And they just love themselves. And you can't be nothing but chaff until you fall in love with him. Hallelujah to God forever and ever and ever. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Oh, I'm giving you a little time to pray for somebody. I'm giving you a little time to get a burden for somebody you love. There's some of them out there, they've become chaff, and they've been chaff so long, there's no way to get them in a sack. There's no way. In fact, when I was catching the grain, I didn't even want to catch the chaff. It would have done nothing but take up room. That when it was taken to the people who ground the oaks and ground the wheat, they'd have to put it through another winnowing machine. You know what a winnowing machine is? That's when you hold the grain up here about 2 feet above where it's going to be caught, and you have a fan that blows through it. And you have to wind it. You have to wind the grain. Usually you had to do some of this just because that was the nature of the beast. Some of that chaff would stick to the grain. And so you would wind it. That's the word they use. Wind the wheat. Pour it down real slow and let the wind blow through it. And you'd see that chaff just flow away. Because it was so light that the wind would blow it away. And only the grain then would fall into the right hopper. Oh, I remember all of that as a boy on the farm. And what an example. And then I look now at a world that's like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Oh, there's so much more I could tell you about those texts, but I don't think it would be good for me to do that. I can tell you over and over, I see why that was chaff. I see why it's everywhere and your heart bleeds. Your heart bleeds. I don't want nobody to go to hell, do you? How many of you don't want nobody to go to hell? Could I see your hand? You don't want nobody to go to hell. And yet you see it everywhere. It roars. I mean, oh, hallelujah. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Could I tell you something? When it says that the sinner shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. These ungodly people shall not stand. There's coming a winning process. There's coming a winning process. Called the judgment of Christ the Lord. And the wind of the Spirit will blow through that grain as it is shifted from one place to another. And the wind will blow the chaff away. How many people do you know that are just like chaff? They're just as closely, just as clearly on their way to hell as a bird flies to the sky. They're just going. There's nothing but emptiness. They don't know anything but emptiness. And they're just reaching and searching and looking for straws that don't mean anything when they get them. They're just an empty handful of nothing. That's what the world is. Did you understand that, boys and girls? Young people, you need to understand. When you reach for this world, you're not going to get anything but chaff. That's all it is. That's all that's left. Somebody say amen. I hope you'll use this simple thought this morning that the Holy Ghost poured into me, because this verse 4, it's absolutely captured me. It's absolutely captured me. The ungodly are not so. Now, I'll tell you something. You got to understand, if you're going to be a soul winner, that you don't just help them claim religion. You don't just help them claim religion. You got to help them get into this Bible and get something in there that will flood their soul so that they can fall in love with the things of God. And then they will despise the chaff as much as you do. They'll want to walk with God. Well, let's go back to these verses and spend a little moment here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What do you mean, counsel? Now, you got to hear this. Blessed is the man who stays away from the influence of the ungodly. We're talking about influence. We're not just talking about words. We're talking about influence. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the influence or the fellowship of the ungodly. You hang around somebody that's wicked and ungodly, somebody that lives like a dog under the porch, somebody that's full of their own self and their own flesh. I don't care how much they go to church. I don't care how much they claim religion. That's not a thing. Don't pay that no attention if they don't have the real thing. Because blessed is the man that walketh not in the influence of the wicked. You stay away from the influence of the wicked. Stay away from the fellowship of the wicked. If you're going to be a friend to them, okay. But keep that friendship on a very, very solid base. That you never come under their influence. And they never can make you think like they think. If you catch a person who is not living right for God, and you sense that they are beginning to affect the way you think, you better run for your life. Run for your life. How many people have I known in my Christian walk who got a hold of God to some degree? They got saved, Brother Ed. They really did find something real. But they never could get themselves anchored and caught up. They were like a shifting kind of person. And they would shift from here to there. One time you see them, whoa, they had the victory. The next time you see them, their eyes were dull. And you could sense something was going wrong. And it just tears my heart out of me. Sometimes I wish I didn't have the spirit of discernment with people. I do, because I get in trouble when I look in the eyes of somebody and I see nothing but emptiness. And I tell them, and then they don't like it because they don't believe me. It happens all the time to a real preacher. You say you ought to quit doing it. There's no way. I wouldn't be worth my salt if I didn't tell people the truth. I wouldn't be worth my salt if I didn't say it like it is. You're not going to get me to change at 78. My gracious, I don't know nothing else. But do it like it, like the Bible said, do it. Hallelujah. And I got my breakfast paid for by doing it like the Bible said, do it. And that was not even my intention, Brother Dylan. Not at all. I will never forget that breakfast. It was French toast with some kind of syrup poured over it, along with, you know, the other thing. And I'm telling you, it was delicious. And then to have him tell me it's already paid for. You know, but that was not even my purpose. My purpose was to do what God's called me to do. And that's to tell you, blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner. That is, again, somewhat similar. It means you don't follow that way. You don't walk in that path. If you're around some old sinner who's doing things they shouldn't do, you run for your life. You keep yourself clean and pure and righteous and holy. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I mean, you can take those three things in that verse 1. You've got walketh, standeth, sitteth. All day long, your waking time, you're doing one of the three. That's a complete picture of your total life. That's all day long, every day, 24/7. That's the whole thing. The whole thing. Walketh, standeth, sitteth. Don't hang around the world. You're full of God. You don't even want to hang around the world. You know, if you want to hang with somebody that's not right with God, it's a pretty good testimony. You don't have enough of that substance of God within to satisfy you, and you're reaching for somebody to give you a little something that you don't have. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus is so everything I need. He is so complete. He is so perfected in my heart. I fill him with such delight. His Holy Ghost comes every time I need him. I don't need this world. Raise your hand if you don't need this world. Raise it up high if you don't need this world. I don't want what it's got. I'm not going after it. I'm not going to sit with it. I'm not going to stand with it. I'm not going to walk with it. Hallelujah. Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Johnson, I'm so glad you stand. Is there anybody else here that's got enough victory to stand once in a while? Hallelujah. 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 Well, I didn't find one, so I'll just stand with you, Brother Johnson. Let's all just shout together, okay? Hallelujah. 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 But I like the next verse. I want to preach this next verse. I love the next verse. Blessed is he that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Again, I'm a farm boy. We had creeks back in my day. There was creeks almost everywhere. I don't know whether that's just the nature of the place I lived. And everywhere there was a creek, there was things that you could go in the summertime to eat. I remember the old muscadine vines that hung all over the trees over the creek where we used to go and play. We'd get up and eat muscadines until we were satisfied. Then we'd get us a limb, one of the great vines of that muscadine tree, and we'd start sailing through the air and landing in the water. And you've done that. Oh, that was a good day. I loved it. I loved it. And those things that were growing by the creeks, they would just bring forth in abundance. Hallelujah. I fell in love with Filbert. A pecan, not pecan, but filbert tree. That's hazelnuts. I fell in love with hazelnuts as a boy because there was a wild hazelnut tree right by the creek, not far from our house. And we knew in the summertime, the filberts, they're called filberts, the hazelnuts, and by the way, they're raised mostly in Turkey. That's where they are really big. They're really big. I want to tell you something. They grew by that water course that came through there, and they were abundant. Well, that's how the Christian life is. We are abundant because we live beside the creek, the Holy Ghost creek, the Bible creek. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? I'm using whatever I know. I mean, we're supposed to preach the things that we can understand. You plant a tree by the creek that never goes dry, and you're going to have abundance. There's going to be plenty. So is your life. You plant yourself by the Bible. You plant yourself in the Holy Ghost. You plant yourself in the spiritual things that God provides. You just soak yourself day by day. Hallelujah. You run to the rock from whence cometh the glorious life of Christ, and cling to that old rock of ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Would you say that with me? Cling to the rock of ages, close and near to me. Let me hide myself in the rock of ages. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the love of godliness. The love of godliness. Oh, I love these verses. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Could I say something here? I have been a pastor for 57 years, and I have seen so many sit on pews in the church and wither until they didn't even have a hallelujah in their heart. I've seen people come and go, love the church for a while, but because they wouldn't eat, they decided nothing was being fed. Nothing has overwhelmed me through the years like people, and I have one of these every once in a while. I love coming to Paul Creek, but I just not getting fed. Well, open your big mouth, friend, for the right thing, and you might get something inside. Somebody help me, would you? Hallelujah. I'm about to get in trouble. I want to tell you something, church. If you want to feed, I guarantee you, I've been feeding you this morning. If this is not the Holy Ghost I'm feeling, I don't know what the Holy Ghost feels like, Marcus. Are you being fed? Well, stand up once in a while, Marcus. Your dad's a holiness preacher. He needs to act like one too, don't he? Come on, somebody, say amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church. There's nothing like getting fed from the Bible. There's nothing like being fed by the Word of God. There's nothing like Holy Ghost anointed preaching. Hallelujah. I know when I'm anointed and when I'm not anointed. And I got to be anointed for your sake. Hallelujah. And blessed is the man who walketh who liveth by the springs of water and feeds and satisfies. His life shall bring forth fruit in his season. You know what happens to many Christians? They get upset because they don't bring forth fruit quick enough. I can tell some of you, you've been wanting to win some people and you're not making much headway. It may be partly your fault, but then second, you've got to remember it takes a while. God used in your season. God's got a season for you. How many of you know God's got a season for you? God's got a season for you. God's got a place for you. God's got a time for you. Just trust Him and wait on the time and stay planted and stay devoted and live in the Word. And I promise you this, the more you put in, the more will come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more you put in, the more will come out. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Did you know that? And he shall be like a tree planted Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody that keeps playing games. What's it going to take? I feel by the Holy Ghost. You know who I'm talking to. Are you going to quit playing games? Are you going to get with it? Are you going to give it all? Would you stand? Would you stand? I'm preaching this morning on the beautiful life of godliness. I'm here to tell you, if you love this life, it will love you back. If you love this life, it will love you back. Can I say that again? If you'll love this life, it'll love you back. If you'll love godliness, godliness will love you back. Are you hearing me? You love godliness, and godliness will love you back. Godliness will give you so much joy and so much happiness. There's no happiness on the face of this globe like the happiness that comes from a godly life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a life of joy, of satisfaction, of success. You know, look at the world. You don't know nobody out there that's living for the world that's really happy. How many of you know some old ungodly person that's happy? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody? They put on a show sometimes, but they're not happy. You can see it. You look in their eyes. If a person says one thing with their mouth and another with their eyes, you always believe their eyes. Now, that's not a Bible verse, but that's a wonderful thought. It has kept me through the years. I've had people to say things to me that sounded so beautiful, and I look in their eyes, and it was talking another language. You believe what I'm saying? The eyes were talking another language. I want you to pray for the person who sent me those texts last night, because he's like the chaff which the wind driveth away, from one cloud to another cloud of chaff. Floating like a breeze. No substance and no joy. Miserable, miserable. We've got so many people connected with this church. I had a dear man who's one of the school dads, and he came to me Friday, and his eyes was full of sadness. He said, "Brother Chambers, I got to have help spiritually." I said, "I'm ready to help you." And so he said, "I'll be there Monday morning." And he's supposed to come. I said, "Okay, I want you to come to church Sunday, and that'll get us started." He doesn't go to church anywhere. "I'll be there." He ain't here. He ain't here. I might as well talk to the wind as to talk to him when he wouldn't even come to church. Do you know that? Now, I'm going to try. I'm the kind that I'm a, what do you call it? I'm a fool to try to help fools sometimes. I don't mean that in an ugly way. I mean, I'm going to do my best. The woman who called me at 2:00 this morning refused to even answer my phone call for a year and a half. But when she got in trouble, that's wonderful as far as I'm concerned. I'm ready. Are you ready to help somebody that's up like a chaff floating around in the breeze? Let me see your hand if you are. Come on, stick it way up. I don't want to see no half-hearted hand now. Do you really mean that? Are you ready to help somebody? Like the Jesus Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, the God seemed to come. Raise your hands and wait on the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, get a hold of us. That we are conscious of the chaff which is everywhere, blowing in the breeze and taking a multitude to hell. Oh God, the ungodly are not so. Oh, what a statement. The ungodly are not so. It's such a joke to see people living their life of wickedness. Eliklin sento corderbia. Rompisali koi sarami. I have settled my supply. Oh, thank you, Father, for letting me preach.